Go to Psalm 146, and this is our last Bible study on the book of Psalms. We get to wrap it up with the Hallelujah Psalms. There's five books in the book of Psalms, and we've got to share that with you. The word Hallelujah means praise ye the Lord. And so there's four sections of Hallelujah Psalms. The third one only has one. The first two have three. Psalm 104, 105, and 106 is the first set of Hallelujah Psalms. Those psalms end with praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. The second set is Psalm 111, 112, and 113. Those psalms begin with Hallelujah or praise ye the Lord. Psalm 135 is kind of like in its own single group. It is like the third set. Psalm 135 begins and ends with Hallelujah. The last set is what we're on tonight. The last five books of the largest book in the Bible is the what you could call the fourth group of the Hallelujah Psalms. And these five begin and end with Hallelujah. And we'll see that tonight. So, there's four sections, you could say, of Hallelujah Psalms. We're in the last one, the biggest one, at the end of the book of Psalms. If these are Hallelujah Psalms, they're at the end of the largest book in the Bible, and they're five in a row, and they're all about praising the Lord, then what do you think God wants you thinking about when you stop reading the biggest book in the Bible? Praising Him, right? So let's think about praise just for a second. Thanksgiving, there's three levels of praise, you could say. The first level is thanksgiving. That's when you make yourself say thank you. You say, oh, it's natural to say thank you. None of us are naturally thankful. All of us are naturally selfish. Thankfulness begins with you making yourself do what's right. Thank you, God, for your goodness to me. You think about that. That's the first level of thankfulness. You make yourself do it. Praise is the next level. That's thankfulness with emotion. And if you ever start making yourself thank God for what He's done in your life and what He's kept from you and what you haven't seen, and we can go, how He's let people influence you and all the good things God's done. If you make yourself thank God, say thank you, it's amazing. In a couple of minutes, you start getting excited about how good God's been to you, and your thankfulness turns to praise. There's one more level of thankfulness. You make yourself do it. That's thanksgiving. Thanksgiving with emotion is praise, and the third level is when you glorify the Lord. Okay? And that's probably praise or thankfulness at its highest level when you're glorifying and honoring your Father. Okay? Your Heavenly Father. So, three levels of it tonight. It is important for everybody to understand thankfulness is something you make yourself do because God says be thankful. And the alternative is what none of us want to become. I make myself, even when if I don't feel like it, I make myself do it because I don't want to be an ingrate, right? I don't want to be that. So character has to kick in sometime. And if you'll do it enough, your prayer time can go from thankfulness to praise and then into glory. Now, here we go. In these Psalms, praise is so important to the Lord. I'd like you to take your Bible and you're there at Psalm 146. We're gonna go through these tonight. I just want to show you Psalm 22, verse 3. While you turn there, the word praise is found over 300 times in the Bible. It's found over 180 times in the book of Psalms, and it's found 31 times in the last five chapters that we're going to look at tonight. It's found 9 times in the last chapter of Psalms. The word praise, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord. The word praise is thank the Lord. Sometimes it's with singing, sometimes it's with speaking, sometimes it's with clapping your hands. Sometimes when you look up the word praise and how it's used, it means get your body involved, okay? Whether it's lifting your hands or whatever, and all that's done what? In private. But I would hate you say, oh, that's extremism. I would hate to think I could get excited at a sporting event and never get excited in God's presence. We went to all our sport, we went to our kids' sporting events. We found ourselves shouting, come on, you could, come on, yeah, all right, well. You mean the only thing that you get emotionally stimulated over is a sporting event? You never get excited about God? That ought to be a red flag. Well, yeah, if it's sports, because that's important. I know people, to be anything more than, yeah, over the Lord is extremism. But they'll scream and shout at a sporting event. Sit all day on a bench, you know what I mean? Without a pillow. It doesn't matter, because it's sports. That's their God. You understand? That's what they glorify. Watch this. Look at Psalm 22, verse 3. Just a verse you're going to hear me refer to tonight a little bit at the end. But thou art holy. This is the crucifixion psalm. Watch this. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. What's the word inhabit mean? God says, that's where I like to live. Now, I know this is talking about Israel, but wait a second. That verse means a lot to me, because that tells me when you praise God, it gets God's attention. And God says, oh, look, they're praising me. They're really thankful. God says, I want to dwell there. Now, we know God's everywhere, right? But God says, that got my attention. And I would like to think that I could get God's attention by praising Him. Tonight, you can get God's attention by praising Him too. Amen? Psalm 22:3, a very important verse. Go back to Psalm 146 and let me just give you a couple of verses before we get into this, because I want you to thinking about praise tonight, praising the Lord. First of all, as you go to Psalm 146, we're commanded to praise the Lord. It's a command. We're commanded to thank God. We're commanded to sing. We're commanded to praise God. If you don't, you're a disobedient Christian. It's that important. If you're not praising the Lord, there's something missing out of your life. You say, oh, and you know, here's the opposite statement. Oh, it's natural. Wait a second. When I read Psalm 107, verse 22, listen, it says, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works. That tells me for every one of us, it's something we're supposed to make ourselves. What's the word sacrifice mean? It means it's going to cost me something. If I'm going to sacrifice to thank God, then that means it's going to require effort and resources and work at it. And God says, you sacrifice to me your thanksgiving. Lay it on the altar. Make yourself say thank you. If I just ask you this question, this is good. This is good to kind of go through in our minds right now. When was the last time you said, thank you, Lord, for saving me? That's supposed to be done every day. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Thank you for your precious blood that washes away my sins. However you want to say it. Some Christians go a month, years without saying that. You're supposed to say that every morning. God says, when I save you, read Exodus chapter 12. That's our Passover, right? We don't kill a lamb. We don't observe the Passover. Our Passover is our thanksgiving for God saving us. The day God saved you, you're supposed to be able to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you every day for salvation. No, it's not natural. You can tell by reading Psalm 107, when we read it a little bit ago, that God wishes we would praise Him. Four times in Psalm 107, God says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. So you get the, oh, that men would praise the Lord. That lets me know this, none of us praise God enough. Now, with that in mind, Psalm 146, we're looking at the last five. They're all hallelujah psalms. They're all psalms on praising God. Look at verse number 1. Ready? Now, just so you know, this one and the next psalm have divisions. The rest of them don't. Psalm 146 to 150, all five psalms, everything that I checked, there's no story behind them. In other words, I don't know where they fit in David's life? Is this when he was being chased by Saul? Is this when God gave him the victory and he became king? It's nowhere. It's just, praise God, these are psalms, they're hallelujah psalms, every word is inspired of God. If you want to divide it, this one is divided at verse 6. Verse 6 starts the second half of it. Verses 1 through 5 shows the happiness of those that trust in God. Verses 6 through 10 is going to show why the Lord is worthy of our trust. I like this. Watch this. Verse 1, praise ye the Lord, or hallelujah. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And then verse 2 would take you a lifetime to live. While I live, will I praise the Lord. Watch, I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. What a verse. Dear God, you give me breath and I'm going to praise you. I want the words that come out of my mouth. I want to be praising God for what he's done in my life if he gives me any life at all. Wow. What a statement. Look at verse 3. Ready? Put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. It's talking about princes and men. In that very day his thoughts perish. In other words, when he dies. Happy is he that hath a God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And then these are the reasons why we can trust him, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth righteousness. The Lord preserveth the strength. All these reasons here. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. And here's the end. Praise ye the Lord, or hallelujah. Look at Psalm 147. Psalm 147. It's broken down, verses 1 through 6, 7 through 11. And in other words, verse 7 is a breaking point, and verse 12 is a breaking point. Praise to God for 1 through 6 is praising God for building Zion and blessing the Lord's mourners. 7 through 11 is God is praised for his provisions for the lowly and his pleasure in them. And then God is in verses 12 through 20, God is magnified for his work and the power of his word. I'm not going to read all of this with you, but let's read a little bit of it. Ready? Here we go. Praise ye the Lord, or hallelujah. For it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. Now, let me give you a personal application. When you read a verse like that, and it says, it's good to sing praises unto our God, do you ever sing to the Lord when you're by yourself, in your car, out, when nobody can hear you? You say, why would you do that? Because it's good to sing praises unto our God. When nobody, God, okay, even if we're in a group, singing like we just were, peace, peace, one. We are singing as a group, but the one you're supposed to be singing to is the Lord. Coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit. Somebody goes, oh, you sound awful. I wasn't singing to you. Deal with it. No, don't be a jerk. I am saying this. I think it's healthy as a Christian. Do you ever sing to the Lord yourself? Because it's just you and him, in your room, in your yard, when it's just you going down the road. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship. You say, I don't know all the songs you know. Okay. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Do you ever sing to the Lord? Isn't that good? You say, why? Because it's good to sing praises unto the Lord. We're commanded to. Let's keep on reading. Look at verse number 2. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek, he casteth the wicked down to the ground. Here it is again. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. Look at verse 10. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. You have your stories. When you read, I hope you do. This is my story behind verse 10. When I got saved, I got off ship, and all I had done on ship was memorize scripture. I remember somebody said, one of the corpsmen, he looked at me. He was running from God. He was called to preach, and he didn't want to do what God told him. Danny looked at me. Danny taught me how to memorize scripture. But Danny's testimony, at least once a week, was, I'm running from God. God called me to preach. I went into the Navy. Now he was a corpsman with a Marine Corps infantry platoon, right? So you're on ship, and Danny, we finally, 6 months together, and Danny, we get ready to get off ship, and Danny, he goes, you've memorized a lot of scripture on this boat. He said, God's going to use you to win souls to Christ. He said, you know, you need to go see Gene Johnson up at the Servicemen's Center. I didn't know who Gene Johnson was. He said, he'll teach you how to win souls. And I'm not kidding you, when I went up there to start winning souls, Gene Johnson gave me, I think it was 4 pieces of paper. All of them had like the Book of John and Book of Romans on them, okay, verses. He said, memorize those, son. He said, and I'll teach you how to win souls. But that's not the first thing Gene Johnson told me. I ran up there. Here I am in the Marine Corps. This is the Red Light District in Jacksonville, North Carolina. I got done with my PT, physical training. Hopped in my car, went down there, jogged up those stairs. I was in my typical Marine Corps physical training uniform. Green shirt, red shorts, white socks, and whatever shoes you wanted to buy, okay? I go up there and I said, you're Gene Johnson? He said, yep. He said, son, you got to understand the old Iowa farmer that he was. He purchased the whole Servicemen's Center with his sold his farm, came to North Carolina to win Marines to Christ, right? So he owned this building. He had to go up, you know, 2 flights of stairs, open up those doors, go in. Eugene Johnson, I've been sent here to, you know, you're going to teach me soul winning. He said, yes, I am. He said, come over here, son. He opened up the Bible right there to Psalm 147. He said, read verse 10 for me. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. Well, the Marine Corps shorts, you know, they came to here. And he said, son, let me tell you something. He said, don't come up here again in those shorts. He said, God does not take pleasure in your legs. That man would take me under his wing and teach me soul winning. He's also the one that told me, next, okay, so I leave there. Wow, don't go to the Servicemen's Center in shorts. Now, that's all we were allowed to wear for PT. But anyways, now I'm glad on basketball teams, I'm glad at the Christian school, they said shorts need to come to the knee. If a woman isn't supposed to expose her thigh, then neither should a man. If it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. I like the consistency, okay? But next time I went up there, I was like, man, I'm all set. No shorts. He said, sit down and play a game of checkers. Played me a game of checkers. I think 2 games. He won every game, always. And it was always like, you'd take a long time to think, and he'd go, you know, and beat your socks off. And then he goes, so you came up here to win souls. He said, are you saved? I said, yes, sir. He said, you want to win souls? I said, yes, sir. He said, then the first thing you're going to need to do is shave that mustache off. You understand me? My stash? Oh, my word. You don't know what my stash meant to me. My stash, I mean, I'd walk around like this. Because my stash, I could grow a stash. Now, I don't have any problem with a guy growing a mustache or a beard. And personally, I think it's one of the most masculine things you can do. Okay? So I don't have a problem with facial hair. But that was in the 80s when that happened. And if you remember what was happening in the 80s, you know, Tom Selleck and all those guys were pushing, you know, facial hair explosion or whatever. So he said, the board that runs this Servicemen's Center has said that's worldly and you need to cut that off your face. He said, you want to win souls with me, son? It wasn't any, I love you, Jesus loves you. He was just cut and dry. That's just the way he was. I went home that night. Oh, my God. I did. I felt my stash all the way home. I was like, oh, my stash. Got home. I remember, okay. And this was my attitude. If this is what I need to do to win souls, then I'm going to do it. And I'm glad I did. I didn't get upset. Legalists. Bunch of rules. I didn't have a problem. You got to submit to somebody, right? And I knew he was on the right course, and he was a man of God. And I you could tell he loved the Lord. I didn't have a problem with his rules. I didn't have a problem. That's my story behind verse 10. So whenever I read it, the Lord taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. I can't help it. My mind goes back. Okay, so we've read that. Watch this. Just show you a few more things here. Verse 11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. Okay, let's go on down now to chapter 178. There is no division in Psalm 148 and Psalm 149 and Psalm 150. They are intended to be read as a whole. In other words, they're intended to be read, start at verse 1 and work your way through and don't stop. Okay, that's the way that these are on purposely set up this way. There's no story behind it. Just watch this. Let me see here. Look at verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him all ye his angels, all his angels. Praise ye him all his saints. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him all ye stars of light. Praise him ye heavens of heavens and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also hath established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Have you ever walked outside at night? You know, all those praise the Lord in the heaven of heavens and the God that made them. And have you ever walked outside on a clear night and just looked up at the stars? I love to do that and think. The closest star out there, the light took 8 years to reach my eyeball, traveling at 186,000 miles per second, the speed of light. You say, what's the speed of light? If you take the circumference of the earth, this is how fast the speed of light is. If you could fire a bullet and it went perfectly around the world at the speed of light in 1 second, it would go through your body 7 times. That's the speed of light going all the way around the world, okay? It took 8 years traveling that fast for that. Just look up at the sky sometime. Point out the Big Dipper, point it out, and just think, wow, praise God, he made all of that. Let me show you something else. The verse here says they were created, let them... I'm gonna go on down to verse chapter 149 here. As you read these, you're gonna find out that God names all the stars. God names every one of them. If that's not a big job to you, watch this. Our solar system is in a galaxy. Have you heard of the Milky Way? Right? Okay, that's a galaxy, a bunch of solar systems. In our galaxy, there's 100 billion stars. 100 billion. That's in the Milky Way. Beyond the Milky Way, they estimate that there's 100 billion galaxies like the Milky Way beyond the Milky Way. Okay? That means if you add it all up, that's a 10 to the 22nd power. That's 10 and then 22 zeros after it. Whatever number that is. That's estimated stars. Do you realize for every person on planet Earth, that is more than 1 trillion stars per person? And God has named them all. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So I hope when you go outside and you're able to look up, and that's one of the things we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go out and look up at the stars and go, wow, God, what a creation, and I'm part of it, and you know me, and you'd save me. All right, you're supposed to think about it. Now, look at Psalm 149. Psalm 149, this is another one that is in its entirety. The psalm is in its entirety. Watch this. Verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song. There it is again, singing to God. And his praise in the congregation of saints. Well, glory to God, we can sing in church. Verse 2. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. You know, that's a neat thought. Have you ever done that when you laid down? Have you ever praised God on your bed? Do you ever sing to the Lord? From the time you pull the sheets until you go into La La Land, you're going to think about something, right? So God says, praise him when you're laying down. Then, notice this, verse 6 starts just an amazing, I hope you think about these, I'm going to try to point it out to you. Look at this, verse 6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. That is a picture to me. God says, if a two-edged sword is in your hand, then you ought to take your Bible everywhere you go. And you ought to be praising God everywhere you go. Ought to have some New Testament in your pocket. Ought to have some tracts, something. But let a two-edged sword be in their hand. Your two-edged sword's your Bible, right? So you ought to be able to praise God and carry your Bible. Always have one. Don't leave it in the car. It'll cook. Okay? Look at verse 7. Why? To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. So when you praise God, verse 7 says, God executes vengeance on the heathen and he punishes people through your praise. Then verse 8 says, it also binds king with chains and nobles with fetters of iron. When you do what? When you praise God. Look at verse number 9, I think it's just amazing. To execute upon them the judgment, written, colon. Then I hope you underline this in your Bible. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. There's something that God says in verse chapter 149, you have an honor, says to all the saints. If you're saved, God says, when you praise me, I protect you. I execute vengeance. I'll bind kings with chains. People that come against you say, well, I just need to stand my ground and praise God and let God do the fighting. Isn't that a beautiful verse? And I just love it how it says, this honor has all God's saints. You know why not very many people see it very much? Because not very many people praise God. They're more like, well, I'll give them my 5 cents or I'll tell them off. And praising God is the farthest thing from their mind. When you praise the Lord, the Bible plainly teaches that does what? Remember how God inhabits the praises of Israel? God dwells there. God says, so few people praise me, I'll take care of them. This honor has all his saints. Now, I want to show you a picture of that, but let's read Psalm 150, the last chapter. It's a simple one, but I told you in this last, and then I'm going to give you an illustration of Psalm 149. There are 6 verses here in Psalm 150. Praise is mentioned 9 times in 6 verses. Watch this. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him for the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrels and dance. And by the way, dance in your King James Bible, it's used correctly. It's not talking about a physical movement with the body, although there is proper dance in the Bible. In all worldly sensual dancing, God kills people 3 times in the Bible when they dance sensually. People die. That's why sensual dance is wicked. But there is a dance that David did, leaping and jumping to the Lord. God called that dance. There is a dance that's not sensual, best I can tell you. It's not immoral. They're not making immoral movements with their body. This dance is an actual instrument. This is an instrument that they would play. It's not talking about any type of thing you would do with your body. It says praise him with the timbrel and dance. In the book of Psalms, dance is a instrument. Okay, just wanted to point that out to you. A lot of people have used that to justify sin and say, see, we were supposed to dance to the Lord and all that stupid filth. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And then the whole book closes with hallelujah, or praise ye the Lord. Now, Going back to Psalm 149, let's close on this tonight. Take your Bible and go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm trying to show you we don't praise God enough. We need to praise the Lord more. It's healthy. It's healthy for your mind. It's healthy for your body. It's, yes, God, but God responds to your thankfulness, to your praise. And the best illustration I can show you, I hope you don't forget Psalm 149, but go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let's show you the story here, and then I'll give you a verse to mark, okay? When you start reading this, verse number 1, 2 Chronicles, this is the battle of Jehoshaphat. And look at verse number 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them besides the Ammonites, or Mount Seir, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. Look down at verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And I just like, look at verse 6. This is his prayer. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel? Gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Now he's going to give the complaint, verse 10. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Look at verse number 11 and 12. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. I hope you mark verse 12 and just think about it. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, and probably a very famous phrase in your Bible, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Dear God, it's a wonderful thing to pray. Dear God, this isn't fair. This isn't right. You wouldn't let us invade them when we came out of Egypt, and now they're attacking us. And dear God, we don't know what to do. I heard a sermon called one time, do you know what to do when you don't know what to do? And they took us to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and said, you ought to be able to go to the Lord, proclaim a fast, and then lay out your complaints before the Lord. God, we don't know what to do. Please handle this situation for us. Notice what takes place. I just love this chapter. I've loved it since I've been saved. Watch this. Verse number 15. And he said, so this man comes out and he says, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king of Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Israel. Notice verse 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, and I just love those words, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Look at the end of verse 20. It says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Notice verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Isn't that amazing? So in front of the army, spears, swords, you know, all of this, spears, all that, they put singers to praise God. Isn't that amazing? No, nobody thinks that way. Nobody thinks, oh, I better get some more tanks out there and more. They're going, we need more singers out here. Put all the whole choir up in front of the army. Then notice verse number 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Isn't that amazing? God says, when you sing and praise me, I fight for you. You say, that's Israel. I know. But there's a lot of wonderful Christian testimonies where instead of heading to Facebook or heading to social media, I'm going to tell them what happened. I'm just going to go praise God and let God take care of it. And God does take care of it. When they began to sing, God set ambushments. And when you read the rest of the story, they all kill each other. And Israel just stands. Nobody has to raise a sword. It finally says there was dead bodies everywhere. None was left. And they were 3 days going through and picking the jewels, or the spoils of war, spoiling the dead bodies. They were 3 days doing that. There was so much stuff. Isn't that wonderful? Psalm 149. Let's go back there and we'll end there. Psalm 149. Second Chronicles chapter 20 is a picture of that. Let's read it one more time and see if you can pull this out of it. I wanted you to leave tonight. We're at the Hallelujah Psalms in last five chapters of the biggest book of the Bible, most read book of the Bible. And I really think God wants us thinking about praising Him. We need to praise Him more. And there's things that happen when we praise Him that you didn't see, that we don't see in the spirit world, okay, as God takes care of us. Let's just start here again. Start there at verse number 6. Psalm 149, verse 6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Carry your Bible with you. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment writ. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 149. Isn't that beautiful? I hope you leave church tonight thinking, I need to praise God more. And remember, there's three levels. Thanksgiving. In other words, none of us are naturally thankful. None of us naturally praise God. If you praise God, it's because you make yourself. You make yourself thankful. Make yourself say thank you. We have a lot to. The only reason we are not more thankful is because we don't think about God's goodness. Right? But you've got a place to start with your salvation. And if you'll just do that for a minute, 2 minutes, eventually the emotion comes and you start praising God. And then that goes into glorifying the Lord. If you take it far enough. If you take it far enough. Hope this is a help to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you again. Please, Lord, in all of our trials, in our problems,